Okay, I'm going to read to you two portions of scriptures, okay? First, in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 1 to 11. Then Psalms 22, verse 1 to 11. Psalms 22, verse 1 to 11. Okay, I will just read to you starting from 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 1 to 11. I'm going to title my message, The Highs and Lows of Life. The Highs and Lows of Life. Okay, that is the title of my message. And these two portions of scripture show forth the highs and lows of life. They are connected, interconnected. Just read 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 1 to 11. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father seeketh to kill you. Now therefore I pray you, take heed to yourself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. And I will commune my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell you. Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he had not sinned against thee, and because his works has been to thee work very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it and did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, ye shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And there was war again. And David went out and fought with the Philistine, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. But then the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. That means David was playing a musical instrument. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. And he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped at night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him, to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if you will save not your life tonight, tomorrow you shall be slain. Let's move on to Psalms 22, 1 to 11. My God, this is written by David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I call you, I cry in the daytime, and you hear not, and in the night season am I not silent. But you are holy, O you that inhabits the praises of Israel. Our father trusted in you, they trusted and you did deliver them. They cried unto you and were delivered, they trusted in you and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of the people. And they see me, they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shout out the leap, they shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he will deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou did make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Father, anoint the message. Jesus' name I pray. You know, America is having a big fight right now. They are trying to install the abortion decree that you are not allowed to have any abortion. Okay, all over the world there is abortion. Joy is on the way. She's 5 months pregnant. Okay, but this verse is so interesting. In verse 10, I was cast upon thee from the womb. You are my God from my mother's belly. That means when you are in the womb of your mom, God was already your God. So I was talking to Joy. Even inside the baby that is in the womb, God was already the God of this baby. So we must treasure, okay, whatever babies that God has given to you, okay, whether by mistake or not by mistake, they are alive. You know, it is said that at least 30 million babies are aborted in America every year. At least 30 million babies are aborted in America every year. But that's not my message, okay? I just tell you the importance of life, okay? When we are in our parents' womb, God already knew us. Hermeneutical practical, or I call it the principle of interpretation. Okay, when you want to interpret these two portions of scripture, it demands us as modern interpreter to take seriously the original author's intention. What was the author's intention? As the beginning point in establishing a proper understanding of this passage of scripture, or rather these two passages of scripture. There are some points to note, okay, when we look into Psalms 22. Okay, in Psalms 22, there was the uncertainty of the inspiration of the manuscript. It is said that Psalms 32 is not found in the Dead Sea Scroll. Okay, then they say that the detail described in Psalms 22 do not totally, rather only partially, fit the life of David or any other Old Testament saint. Who is this person that is crying out to God in Psalms 22? Okay, if you say it's David, it do not totally fit into David's character or situation or incidents, experiences in the life or any other character in the Old Testament. Because the striking, number three, the striking similarity, it is found in the experiences of Jesus on the cross. If you read the whole of Psalms 22, you will see that the crucifixion was prophesied, clothes was gambled by Lot, was also prophesied. Therefore, when we come to this portion of scripture, how do we classify these Psalms, typology, an event in the Old Testament, or a character experiences in the Old Testament, let's say David, parallels to an event in Jesus' life. Okay, the Old Testament, somebody experienced that in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus had the full experience in it. Then it is also predictive prophecy. Please understand that this portion of scripture was written 1,000 years before Jesus came. So it is a predictive prophecy, prophesizing of the crucifixion of Jesus, prophesizing of the clothes of Jesus being cast by Lot. Then it is also a multiple fulfillment prophecy, meaning to say that a number of prophecies was fulfilled in Psalms 22. It's tremendous, okay, very accurate. Then number four, the historical account of the experience of an Old Testament saint. So we cannot deny the fact that this is also an experience of a certain person that is in the Old Testament. Okay, seeing all these things, we should approach the Psalms with a historical orientation. Okay, means approach it with an experience of an Old Testament character like David, but with an eye towards the death of Jesus Christ. So we can safely say that these Psalms point to a certain figure or figures in the Old Testament saints as well as to the New Testament Christ. When you read Psalm 22, definitely David was there. And definitely Jesus was there. What can we learn from these two portions of scripture? Number one, the highs and lows of life. Brothers and sisters, you will 100% experience the highs of life and the lows of life. Whether you like it or not, you will experience these two experiences in life. Looking at the Old Testament, we can conclude that the Old Testament character experienced the highs and lows of life. I can think of three persons that experienced the highs and lows of life. Elijah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was, what Jeremiah cried out to God was also found in Psalms 22. And definitely the third person is David. This Psalms was written by David. These three persons definitely had the dealings of the highs and lows of life. I'm sure that you have the experience of the highs and lows of life. I go through the highs and lows of life. Let's look at the example of Elijah. Elijah, he said that In 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 4, it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. For he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Elijah, this incident, just a few days ago, or 1 or 2 days ago, Elijah just prayed down from heaven fire that consumed a drenched sacrifice on the altar. That is powerful. Fire came down and consumed the whole sacrifice of the altar. And he was able to defeat hundreds of false prophets of Baal and prophesied that rain is coming, going to fall, and deliver the nations after 3 years of droughts and famine. That was his high. That was his high. How could Elijah pray this kind of prayer after such an accomplishment? Because of just one woman, Jezebel. This was his low. When he was there, it was his low. But before we pick on Elijah, let's ask ourselves. Let's ask ourselves. I want to tell frankly, I prayed this prayer a number of times in my life. I request for myself that I may die. Yes, I tell you frankly. I say, God, why don't you take away my life? I'm sure that many of you have prayed this same prayer as I pray. You want to die. Especially when you're going through the most excruciating pain, the most excruciating suffering, or the most excruciating trials of your life. You pray that you may die because of the failures of your life. Elijah felt that he is no better than his father. He felt that he was a failure and he wants to die. Because of the corruptions in your life, because of the sins in your life. You know that you are sinful and you cannot change and you want to die. Just take me to heaven. Just forgive me of my sin. I'm willing to die. Because you are fighting the losing battle against sins in your life. The defeated life in your experiences. You had a defeated experience in life. You want to die. So this is the high and the lows of Elijah's life. Let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah has more lows than high in his life. Jeremiah is a person that God's calling for his life is he is to fail in life. I just want to ask you, if God say that my call for you is that you are to fail in life, Jeremiah was like that way. He has more lows than highs in his life. The lows become so difficult that he uttered this in Jeremiah 20 verse 7. Oh Lord, you have deceived me and I was deceived. You are stronger than I and has prevailed, and I am derision daily. Everyone mock me. Some of the experiences of Jeremiah's life is found exactly in Psalms 22. You must know that Jeremiah uttered these words when he was beaten up. He was put in stock. He was chained. And he was put in a prison and he was thrown into a dungeon. It's like a well. He was thrown that was muddy and he was thrown many feet down underground, and he lived there for almost 1 year. That was his lows in life. Jeremiah was praying like many of the lows of our life, that he thought that his relationship with God was strong as a bond. But then he felt that he has been deceived by God, enticed by God. And he felt that God has used him and God has tossed him aside. You have been saved, and yet you had a close relationship with God. And yet the things that happen to you right now, you work with God, yet you felt that God has deceived you. God did not keep your promise. Do you know why people backslide? Because they felt that God did not keep his promise. God has deceived them. You know, will you become one of these again where you felt that God has deceived you? I ask you this question. If I'm given a chance to become, in my next life, okay, to become a missionary again, Will I become a missionary again? In my flesh, I will say no. Why? Because you feel that God has deceived you. You feel that God has deceived you. The life of a missionary is not that glamorous after all. The trials of the missionary life is very difficult. Many of us, we are like that. We are like Jeremiah. We are in church. We come and worship God. But we say that, God, you have deceived me and I am deceived. That was Jeremiah's life. The lows of Jeremiah's life. Maybe some of you, you are not serving God properly because you felt that God has lied to you about certain promises in your life. Things will be well if you serve God. I serve God. Things did not become well. Things did not become well. Then the next person is definitely none other than David. Psalms 22 is written by David. David, it seems that everything has been going well for David at this point in his life. He has already been anointed king by Samuel. Samuel has chosen him and anointed him to be king. God has chosen David to become king. When Saul dies, he's going to become, take over as king. David has been victorious when he slaughtered Goliath. No one was daring to face Goliath, but he was willing and he killed Goliath. That caused a big turnaround in the battle for Israel, that they finally were able to destroy the Philistine. Jonathan, Saul's son, loved David so much that he gave his princely robe. Jonathan is supposed to be the next king, but he gave his princely robe to David, acknowledging that David will be the next king. 1 Samuel 18:5 says, Samuel marched out with the, you know, this is what happened to David many a time. David marched out with the army and was successful, always successful in everything Saul sent him. Saul put him in command of the soldier, which pleased all the people, and Saul's servant was pleased with David as well, ascribing David his 10,000s, while Saul only his 1,000. Saul started to become jealous and careful of David. It is one thing to deal with jealousy, a great enough evil. However, this jealousy that Saul is harboring leads Saul to make numerous attempts on David's life. He tried to kill David with a javelin twice. He said, I will pin David to the wall. And he thinking that but David got away twice. Can you believe that this has happened to David twice? David, the giant slayer, the future king, is on the run for his life. He had to hide in the countryside because Saul is seeking to kill him. The high of David's life was when he was anointed king and when he destroyed Goliath. The lows of David's life was when he ran from Saul and lived in caves after caves after cave. Somebody preached, the way to the palace is through the caves. If you want to experience the highs of life, you must go through the lows of life. You know, I look at my own life for the past 43 years as a Christian and the past 36 years as a missionary or pastor and pastor of this church. There have been times of great spiritual high, power encounter, experiences, the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was baptized in 1979. God's love, experiencing the tremendous love of God. I remember there was this power encounter and I felt the presence of God. I said, God, I don't want your presence to just leave me. I felt the love of God enveloping me. I remember I was in Ahoy at that time. I said, God, I don't want to lose this presence of God. I don't want to lose this love of God. It was so strong. It was so real. The joy of seeing people encountering Christ. Amazing answers to prayer and seeing the kingdom of God advancing. On the other hand, I have to tell you, there were also spiritual lows. A lot of spiritual lows. Desert experiences. Bereavement. My sister died of cancer at the age of 30. I was in my 20s still. And I was so discouraged in a hotel in Nikko, if I'm not wrong. And I saw this movie about God, the Father and the Son, and they were on top. And this guy was so discouraged in his life. And the Father said to the Son, you go down. This guy is very discouraged now. And I cried because I was that person. Bereavement. Disappointments in life. failures, sins, temptations, oppositions, health issues, exhaustion. In these two passages, we can see that we have just read how that the spiritual low and the spiritual highs are interconnected and they are closely connected. Psalms 22 is written by David. Most likely Psalms 22 is written as a result of his experience in Samuel chapter 1, chapter 18 to chapter 22. So, number one, the highs and lows of life. Number two, trust that ultimately suffering will end in victory. Trust that ultimately suffering will end in victory. Psalm 22 verse 1 says, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverances are the words of my groaning. This is definitely the background of Jesus' cry on the cross. My God, why have thou forsaken me? In Arabic, it means Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Jesus quoted these Psalms from Matthew 27:46 while on the cross. Psalms 22 laid out the prophetic background of the cross and the resurrection, and we see fulfilled in Jesus. Verse 6, Jesus said this, verse 6 said he was scorned by everyone and despised by the people. Verse 7 said that he was mocked and insulted. They hurled at him, shaking their head. Verse 8 said they mocked him, saying, he trusts in God. Let the Lord rescue him. Rescue him. These Psalms forms a setting of an Old Testament figure. Let's say it's David, which expresses the experiences of all of us. This is the Psalms of David, and there were many instances in David's life where he might have written such an agonized poem before and after taking the throne. Before David finally became the throne, took the throne, he experienced great danger and deprivation. I want you to understand, David has to run from cave to cave for 7 years. The whole army of Israel coming after David. You know, the NPA, they have to run to the mountains, right? Because the soldiers of the Philippines will come after them. For David, he was like that. I guess he was running from mountain to mountain. That's why in the mountains, there were caves. The psalmist was calling on God in direct address with, he was going through tremendous intensity and passion. They know each other. David knows God. They know each other. The psalmist has felt that God has left. Maybe some of you, God has left you, rejected you, or abandoned you. He felt alone and betrayed by Yahweh. He doesn't understand why. It was not because of any perceived sin. For some of you, it is because of sin. Sin of omission, sin of commission. What was going through the life of David? The Hebrew word used the word, the roar of a lion. He refers to a human groan. There was tremendous groan, and it affected him psychologically, it affected him physically in pain and confusion, which fits this context very well. This psalmist could not understand why the covenant God has rejected a faithful covenant person. The period of David's life lasted for 7 years. I'm sure you can identify with these psalms because it is played out in your life. There was many instances in your life where you may have written a very agonized poem. You live in the seasons of dangers and deprivation. The past 2 years was not very good for a number of our church members. We were fellowshipping with a couple on Wednesday that was from the second service, and he was recounting his agony because his son ran away from home, and he was going through a very difficult time in his life. Pastor Lily and me shared of our agony too with him, that there was a time, there were the lows of our life where we live in danger of losing everything, packing our bags and going back to Singapore. There was a time we have to restrict our income expenses, resulting to kamajios for our fish that become our favorite fish. We know God,
but felt that God was not really there. Not really there. And abandoned us. Some of you, are going through difficult trials and you difficult poverty, and you are ashamed to tell the congregation, you are ashamed to tell the people of this church, because if you are in poverty, it means that you are failure. It means that God is not with you. It's not true. These are some of the doctrines that is so evil in this world. So evil. When you are blessed, you are rich, it means that God is with you. When you are poor, when you are struggling, it means that God is not with you. No! Jesus came for the poor, not for the rich. At one time, our life was literally groaning. Maybe your life was literally groaning. The groan leads to loud roar, like the roar of a lion. But actually, it is the human groan that has affected you psychologically and physically. You are in pain and in confusion. We could not understand why. Has God rejected us? Why? Why the 2 years of COVID-19? Why it set back my life that I almost lose everything? You ask yourself, why has this happened to me? More often than not, this terrible sense of alienation, loneliness, spiritual confession is a result of the fall. Result of the fall of the human race. Let's look at COVID-19 and the Ukraine war. 2020-2021 was the low of many people's life. It was the result of the fall. Mankind made in God's image and likeness has been damaged. The estrangement was terrible. In this case, the sense of God's silence is even magnified, because you know God. I come to church. I love God. I'm involved in the services. I get involved in certain ministry. Yet when I'm in suffering, nobody knows. I have no food to eat, nobody knows. Why? There is a purpose to bring you the gospel, to bring you back to the salvation of Jesus, to restore you back to a right relationship with God. I want to tell you something that I learned from God. If you are going through pain and suffering or discipline from God, you praise God. It means that you got hope. That's why God disciplined you. If you continue to do something and nobody attack you, nobody, you don't have any suffering, you are in more dangerous ground. Because you are hopeless. You are hopeless. God has given up hope on you. The couple that fellowship with us that last Wednesday told us it was the lows of their life when they lost a son that draw them into an intimate relationship with God. He was one of those couple that come to my our house, and we saw, oh, this couple, they have the glow of God in their life. They have the glow of God in their life. And they love God. They live very far. So Sunday they have to take taxi. The husband ride a bike. Cannot bring the whole family. You say, it's okay, Pastor. This play day is okay. Because the most important thing is that I can come to church. It was the law of life. It was the law of life that draw me and Pastor Lily closer to God. In the last 10 years, there's something beautiful about the lows of life. Don't say there's nothing beautiful about the lows of life. So how should you react, especially when you are in the lows of life? Firstly, trust God. Trust God. So what are we to do when we find ourselves alone in the cave? It is at this moment in David's life that he penned Psalms 57. David said, he's seeking refuge in the shadows of God's wing. That means he is depending upon the shadows of God's wing, protecting him. David has nowhere else to turn but to God. I hope that this is the case with you. You have nowhere else to turn except God. Read these Psalms with the pain of David's life in mind and notice the confidence he's placing in God who will take care of him. David does not know what is going to happen next. In fact, He says he is waiting in 22:3. Do I know what God will do for me? But David does know that God is faith. His faithful love is as high as the heaven. His love for you is as high as the heaven. And David also know in Psalm 57:10, faithfulness reaches to the cloud. Reaches to the cloud. Yes, we well say, you will never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. I pray that all of us will go through this experience in life. Jesus is all you need. Because Jesus is all you have at that moment in your life. In 2012, I understood that Jesus was all I need. Because at that moment, Jesus is all I have. All I have. Everybody has left us. David turned to prayer, in prayer to God. He's putting his life in God's hand. Your Lord, put your life in God's hand. David put his trust in God's loving kindness, faithfulness. When we fall into the valley of life, we need to draw near to God. Don't question God because you have been trying to do good and bad things happen to you. Know that God is with you and you are being tested. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those suffering in accordance with God's will and trust themselves to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good. Continuing to do good. Secondly, draw near to others. Don't isolate yourself. COVID-19 has caused a lot of isolation and it resulted in a lot of suicide. And it resulted in a lot of people going through life suffering alone. Because it will lead to depression. Like Elijah was so depressed and even caused some people to do foolish things. Like suicide. It is hard to go through life alone. God recognizes. You know why God created church? Why God created the tabernacle? Because God saw the necessity of needing one another. He created Adam and Eve. He did not create Adam only. He knows that Adam needs a companion. God recognized that having Christians in various geographical areas come together regularly for worship, service and fellowship. It's so important. You need to come to church together. Whether you are in Pavia, whether in San Juan, whether you are everywhere, you come together. We need to come together. There's a difference between online, listening to the word of God, and on site, experiencing the tangible presence of God in your life and the touch of fellowship with one another. You need to come to church. You need the strength of one another. Especially in difficult times. You know, Pastor Lily and I, we couldn't go and do visitation because of the COVID-19. So we invite people to our house. Then you have to be tested first, okay? The antigen. Before you come to our house, you will be tested here. Then you go to our house and the fellowship. I enjoy the fellowship. Sometimes it's especially very tiring for Pastor Lily, to be very honest. She always has to think of what food to cook. But we hear one another's problem. And if the church can help, we help. Yeah. If the church can help, we help. There was this lady that was really in trouble and I tried to help. And Pastor Lily said the church don't have the money because it's quite a big sum of money. Then Pastor Lily said, God told her that you need to get this help from the nobles. The nobles of the people in the church, or not in this church. So I asked the nobles to help. I wrote to them. Immediately the money came. And we can help this person. You need one another. We see that when David's family find out where he is, they go to him. The father, the mother, and all his household come to him in the cave. And more joined David at the cave. And the Bible says, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. Altogether, there were 400 people. God told me many, many years ago that this church will be consisted of people like that. The 400 will be like that. God told me so many years ago that your church will be consisted of people that was in distress, people that was in debt, people that was in bitter of soul, and they were gathered in this church. The body of Christ should act similarly. We are people who recognize we need Jesus. We are people who have problems in life. We are people who are slaves in sin, who needs the grace and mercy of God. We are people who need to draw to one another, to help one another through and through difficulties. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Paul's teaching. Romans 15:1. Now, we who are strong have an obligation. Okay, God has blessed many of you, okay? You have your house. You have a proper salary right now. You have a job. You have a family. You have children. Don't think for yourself. God has blessed you. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They were blessed. They were prospering. But they forgot. They forgot about the neighbors. We who are strong have an obligation to bear the weakness of those without strength and not to please ourselves. Galatians 6:2, carry one another's burden. In this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. I thank you that we are helping those people that really struggle to have lunch and dinner. We are so encouraged that they are putting on weight. We are so encouraged that medicines is provided for them. And you play a part. You drop your money into that box. You play a part. And one day God said that, you remember you gave me a cup of water? I can't remember, Jesus, that I gave you a cup of water. When I was thirsty, you gave me the cup of water to another person. When you gave the water to another person, you are giving it to me. Yeah. There are commands to rely on each other, to connect with each other, and to help one another. Finally, trust that your suffering will end in victory. The suffering of Christ ends in victory. David became king in the end. Elijah did not die, he was caught up to heaven. Jeremiah was one of those few people that were not exiled. The message of these Psalms is about the importance of trust at every low point. Jesus, at the very lowest point of his life, crucified and forsaken, trusted God to deliver him. Number 3, grow in authority through battles and blessings. Pastor, why does God have to make us go through so much suffering in life? Because God wants you to grow in authority through the battles of blessings. Through battles and blessings. You know, I was watching a YouTube about Billy Graham. It was in the 1960s. The YouTube was in black and white. Black and white, okay. I cannot forget when he was standing on the pulpit. I don't know how many people was there, but it was in black and white. And he was preaching, and his eyes was firing. His eyes was piercing. And when he preached, he was not like me. He was just going and going. He was so authoritative. There was so much authority in his preaching. And that was over a century ago. Yet there is power in that message. But what struck me the most was the authority in which he spoke. When he spoke, there was so much authority. It's like everybody is spellbound by what he said. And he just say, speak and speak and speak. I heard him preach in 1978. Go there to jeer at him. But a seed planted that cannot do anything. But come to church one day. This authority was through years of the lows of his life. Years of the lows of his life. We say Charles Spurgeon is the prince of preacher, but yet at the age of 20 only, he was preaching and there was a shout, panic. people scrambled and 7 people died. We only want to hear about the highs of life, but we do not know about the lows of life. Somebody said, the greater your ministry, the more powerful, the higher your ministry, the greater the pain in your life. The more painful you go through. Some of you went through a lot of pain. You want to have children, you don't have children, and you don't understand why. It makes you a better person. It makes you a better person. What happened to Billy Graham? Why did he become until like that? You'll say that before he ever stepped on the pulpit, a stupid theologian confused him about his faith. That he couldn't explain so many things. Why is this thing happening in life? Why is that thing happening in life? And he finally said, God, there are so many things I don't understand and what I'm going through. But I just trust you. I just trust you. He broke through him. He broke him free. And he had the authority. He grew in authority because of the battles and blessing. In Psalms 22, we see that God prepared Jesus. Also, the spiritual highs, the spiritual high. He was baptized and the heaven came down. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He was baptized at Jordan River. He experienced the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove. That was his high. The next moment he was sent into the desert. 40 years of fasting. 40 days of fasting. Not 40 years of fasting. You'll die. 40 days of fasting by the devil. He was tested by the devil. But it was necessary. I want to tell something. The low was necessary. I don't think I will ever become a better person without the lows in my life. I'm telling you. You went through a lot, right? You went through a lot of people criticizing you, saying bad things about you, right? You don't understand. You try to help these people, right? Necessary. So that you become a better person. So that you become a better person. As I look back at my own life, those times of lows were very painful. But I recognize how important, how significant, how necessary, how much is so needed in my life. For what is going about to lay ahead for my life. Jesus grew in authority through that lows of life. What are they? The authority to evangelize. Jesus preached the gospel and people received him. I can preach the gospel better because of the lows of life. I can share better because I begin to understand human better. The authority to lead. The earliest disciple will change completely. You become a better leader. You become a better leader. You don't just lead. You lead with understanding. You lead with passion. The earliest disciple, their life will completely change from being fish-centered to God-centered. The authority to teach. You can now teach with understanding. You can now teach with maturity. People were amazed at Jesus' teaching because he was as one that taught who has authority. They were so astonished. They said, hey, how come, Pastor, you are able to deliver like that? You are able to understand this. Because of experiences of battles and the lows of life. The authority to heal. Heal people. Not just physically, spiritually. The authority to bring salvation. You know, sozo means save. The authority to provide sozo, to save souls, to heal. Many a time, it is the soul that is need more healing than the physical being. Whatever you are going through, believing that God is preparing you and giving you an increased authority for whatever He's calling you to do. So I'm telling some of you, you are going through something in life, right? You praise God. There's a purpose in it. But God will bring you out, and you have authority one day. Lastly, God will turn the lows into highs. You know, none of us need to know what it means to be low, because we were low once, or we are low right now. We don't need Job to tell us that God gives and take away. We don't need, because we experience God giving us and taking it away. We don't need to know the heart sickness of a hope that is deferred. You're hoping, and your heart is sick because it's deferred. We do not need to know the bitterness of solitary pain, because you go through it. In other words, anyone with a pulse, anyone that is a human, know what it means to be brought low. But stand up. Like Paul said, I know how to be brought low. Can you say, I know how to face financial disaster today? Can you say, I know what it means to be betrayed? Can you say, I know how to endure years of chronic pain? I call this the school of faithful suffering. So most important of all, know this truth. God works wonders in low places. Being brought low may ruin your plan. You have a plan. You have a plan. But you are brought low and it destroys your plan. But not God's better, wiser, kinder plan for us. We will testify. I want you to know, brother, that this bankruptcy has really served me to free me from money's stranglehold. I want you to know that this betrayal has taught me how to forgive. I want you to know that this sickness has fueled my hope for heaven like nothing else. It's okay if you are still low to look back and chant God's goodness. Secondly, God will raise you up from low places. Jesus does more than comfort and console when he meets us in our pain. He promises with authority in heaven and earth that we will not stay there. Jesus said, you will not stay there. The season of suffering will not be permanent. Jesus embraced a lowly station. He submitted to the lowest death, human device, even the death on the cross. But he did not stay there. He did not stay dead. He rose up in his humiliation in the blaze of resurrection glory and took his seat in the highest place, receiving from his Father the name that is above every other name. Now this King of Heaven pledges to all who are his that he will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body one day. You know, as you grow old, your movement is hampered, am I correct? You know, when I was young, I can do anything. You know, I can carry 60 kg of baggage, just like that. And my parents were shocked. I just carry out and move. I carried 60 kg of mango to Singapore. I will never forgive Pastor Lily for that. No, I can do anything. Then when I come to the Philippines, today, frankly, I am quite a good swimmer. You will laugh at me. Because in university, there's a swimming pool that is 50 feet. So I boasted to my church when they were in Quezon that I can beat them flat. But I forgot my age. So when I swam, it did not go straight. I go this way. No, you know that, and I noticed that my movement is no more like before. But you know what is the encouraging thing? God is telling me that I'm nearer to heaven. I'm nearer to heaven already. I'm going to understand everything that I don't understand in this world. I'm going to understand about the universe. I'm going to understand about why this thing happened, that thing happened. I'm going to understand so many things. And it's just, maybe I'm already 60. Maybe another 10 and 20 years more to go. I don't want to live so long. And the end is coming. The end is coming. I'm excited. I'm excited to know. You transform your lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. Jesus' living, glorified, death-conquering body declares that the low places will not last forever. Whereas God's wonder working assures us that He's doing everything right now. In the lows of life, God is doing everything right now that will bear fruit for your life. This promise to raise us guarantees that one day we will be done with pain altogether. You know, I always laugh at Pastor Lydia that she has a tendency to always, my family has 3 girls and 1 man. All the 3 girls are very accident prone. They always fall down, especially Pastor Lily. She will walk the bed and she will hit the curb, and the next moment there will be a blue black there. I always laugh at them. You know what happened to me? One day I was mopping a floor in Singapore, and I just fell. Pom. Flat. She said, serve me right. You know what happened? I got frozen shoulder. For 2-3 years. There was one time there was a sharp pain. So my body is no more the same. You want to live how long? I'm asking you, you want to live? Do you know that everything that a person did, if you are not in Christ, everything you do, okay, like the lying and the cheating here and there, will be known. Everything will know. I remember we were one time staying in Barangay Kubai, and somebody told us that Commander Grace is coming after us. We are so afraid, 2 of us got to run to the house of Pastor James Singh to stay there. And to today, we don't know who is Commander Grace that threatened us. But one day, I will know. Everything will be known. So I want to tell something. You better be in Christ. I'm not kidding you. Everything will be known. You can hide, you can hide, you can hide, you can hide. But you will be known. You can lie, you can lie, you can lie. But you will be known. You cannot say you won't. God will set record straight. God will set everything straight. God is a judge. He's a fair judge. He will set everything straight. So you better ask God to forgive you. Better get rid of all the lies. One of the greatest problems of this world today is lies. You talk about fake news, right? Lies! Lies! Disinformation, misinformation, whatever information. These are all lies, but it will be set record. The record will be set straight one day. Your poverty will turn to riches. Your low life will turn to riches because of the power of Christ's resurrection on the cross. Your heartache will turn to healing. Your loneliness will turn to steadfast love. You will finally gain Christ yourself. You'll bow down and sing His Lordship. I conclude. To you who are low right now, I say to you, you that are low right now, grieve and give thanks. I say again, for you who are low in life, grieve, groan, and give thanks. Those who know how to be brought low, do not place the stoic as if this lesson can shield us from the steps of sorrow. No, you will experience sorrow. Those who are low in life will experience sorrow. But we also move forward in faith, learning to let the joy and sorrow mingle together into the same heart, learning what it means to feel and speak and act in a way that is sorrowful yet rejoicing. Sorrowful yet rejoicing. Is the Habakkuk say, those the fig tree will not grow, I will still praise the Lord. You know, I got this point from who? John Piper. John Piper is one of the most powerful preachers in this world. But his son publicly denounced Christ. You know how he reacted? He said this, grieve and give thanks. He doesn't understand why the son denounced Christ. He said, grieve, groan, and give thanks. And give thanks. He said this poem I read to you. I will praise. I will complain, yet praise. I will complain, yet praise. I will bewail, yet approve of God. And all my sour, sweet days, I will lament, yet love. You know what I'm saying? My son is like that. I will lament, yet I will love God. I will love God. I think this is so powerful. Many of us, we only good things, then I can praise God. No. I will lament, yet I love God. I will grieve, yet I will thank God. I will thank God. You have to be like that in life. You have to be like that in life. Musician, can you all come?